We want to thank our sponsor, Great Western Bank, a proud supporter of the Wildcast podcast. At Great Western Bank, they focus on serving family-owned businesses and their overall financial needs. Whether your company needs increased working capital, equipment or SBA financing, purchasing or renovating a building or construction financing, Great Western Bank has the expertise to work through your specific financial needs. Visit the Great Western Bank branch on Campbell between Glen and Fort Lowell or call 520-325-1135 to talk to any of the business bankers about your specific needs. Member FDIC.
From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
Hey, what's up? Welcome to another episode of the Wildcast podcast. Justin Spears here with Michael Lev, and we are getting ready for Arizona taking on Stanford this Saturday. And a little change of plans for the game coverage. Lev is officially placed on the injured reserve list. Lev, is it the knee, right?
Yeah, it's my left knee. Unfortunately, another softball injury has felled me.
Another one.
In 2015, actually broke my leg playing softball, got in a collision with another player. This one isn't as bad. I just took a line drive off of my kneecap during an impromptu batting practice session, which almost never happens. For us, instead of circumstances, we don't need to get into it right now. But I mean, I can move around. I'm mobile, but we decided that it was in my best long-term interest to skip this particular trip, you know, not having to sit on a plane for a couple hours without being able to elevate my leg and so forth. Luckily for us, we have a capable substitute in my podcast partner, Justin Spears, who will be, you know, moving into the captain's chair, as it were, for this 12:30 kickoff. We're going to have all the same coverage that we usually have leading up to, during, and after the game. So I expect no drop-off, Justin.
Justin Bridgewater. That's going to be my name for this week. Drew Brees goes down. Teddy Bridgewater has to step in. I will be out in Palo Alto.
The age gap is similar, I feel like, really? Too, between us two and those two.
But, you know, there's an important game for the Arizona Wildcats because they're looking to bounce back from their two game skid. You know, they get blasted by Washington in that second half. They were winning at halftime, right? And, you know, they were only down by a touchdown going into the fourth quarter. Washington pulls away with the win against USC. It wasn't even close from the start. So Arizona, they're down right now. Lev, going up against a Stanford team who's very similar to Khalil Tate, I would say. A team that you just don't know what you're going to get out of them. What jumps out to you when you look at this matchup against the Cardinal?
Well, I mean, I think it's beyond important. I think it's essential that Arizona win this game because you want to be bowl eligible and you look at the rest of their schedule. You know, how many games are they going to be favored in down the stretch? None of the last three, probably, right? You've got at Oregon, home Utah, at Arizona State. They'll be underdogs in all of those games. You got Oregon State for homecoming, which is a game they should win, although Oregon State's better. They're sitting at 4-3. If they can get to 5-3, you can see a path to 6-3. And then you're bowl eligible at that point, even if you lose the remaining three games, which obviously they don't want to do. But they put themselves in a position where maybe they could go 7-5, which after going 5-7 last year would be a sign of improvement, progress. You know, the seniors get to go out, you know, with a postseason game. The draft eligible juniors who might leave, same thing. So I think that this game is sort of the swing game. We looked at this three game stretch, Washington, USC, and Stanford, and talked amongst ourselves and said, how many games out of these three do you expect them to win? And I think one was the number that most of us threw out there. And this one is the one that I feel like they have the best chance.
Even over a wounded USC team? Because I thought, you know, if there was an opportunity for Arizona to strike while the iron's hot, it's against a wounded USC team.
Well, yes, in the sense that USC had a lot of injuries. However, the game was on the road. Always tougher on the road. Clay Helton has a huge home-road disparity. So does Kevin Sumlin. Most most coaches, most programs, I mean, it's just easier to win at home than it is on the road. And as we saw in that game, the difference in depth between and talent, what USC has and what Arizona has, or what USC has and most other programs on the West Coast have, is huge. And their second and third stringers are guys who probably start for Arizona, let's be honest. And you saw that on display with guys stepping up who, you know, you and I had probably never even heard of, you know, like that kid, Keenan Kristen, who I guess is like the best track athlete in the history of California, just their fourth string running back. He comes in and it's like, whoa, where did this guy come from? But, you know, that's USC.
Yeah.
So, no, I think that if you look at this Stanford team, I was looking at the numbers before we got started here. They're very consistent. They're exactly 11th in the conference in total offense, points per game, passing and rushing. Next to last in all four of those categories. But hey, you know what? They're 10th and third down percentage. So, you know, glimmer of hope there. Everyone goes into this game thinking, oh, it's Stanford. They're this physical rushing team that's going to just bowl over you. You know how many times they've been over 132 yards in a game this year? Only once against Washington, weirdly enough. They had 189.
And that was the game where we all sat there and went, whoa, yeah, Stanford kind of looks like their old selves again.
Yeah, what is happening here? Their rushing average for the season is 114.9 yards per game. And they weren't good at rushing the ball last year either.
Yeah.
And you add that, that's compounded by the fact that their best tackle is out for the season. I think they're starting three true freshmen up front. They had six healthy offensive linemen for the UCLA game. They're going to get their quarterback back, it looks like, KJ Costello. So they'll at least be competent at that position. But this feels to me like a game Arizona can win. You know, I unlike you, I didn't feel like the USC game fell into that category because there were matchups that I just didn't like, especially the defensive line of USC against the offensive line of Arizona, which totally proved to me a mismatch. I know Stanford is solid defensively, but they're not great. I mean, they gave up 45 points against USC, 45 points against UCF, 34 points against UCLA. You know, I used the word vulnerable to describe USC last week, and I think Stanford is in that same category.
How would you categorize or describe the career of KJ Costello? Because remember going into this year, wasn't KJ Costello kind of like a sleeper pick to be an all Pac-12 quarterback? Everyone's talking about Justin Herbert and Jacob Eason, or heck, even Khalil Tate. Nobody really showed any love to KJ Costello. And a lot of people thought he could be a dark horse as an all Pac-12 quarterback. How would you kind of summarize his overall career at Stanford?
Well, I mean, I feel like it was ascending heading into this season. And he was definitely and still is on the radar of NFL scouts. But then he got hurt. He suffered a concussion in the first game of the season against Northwestern on a play where he slid and got a forearm to the head. So that was a setback. And then he suffered this thumb injury that I guess has kept him out of the last three games. David Shaw categorized him as questionable to probable when he spoke to reporters yesterday. Just hasn't played that much this year. Doesn't have the same weapons that he had previously. There's no more J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. There's no more Bryce Love. They still have a really good tight end, which I think might be the biggest problem for Arizona heading into this game. I mean, they just don't face a lot of guys like the Stanford tight ends. I think Colby Parkinson's like 6'7", 251.
Wow.
I mean, do you put Zach Lord? Is that your practice? Is that your scout team tight end to mimic the 6'7", 251 pounder? But doesn't have as much talent surrounding him, including the offensive line, which I mentioned. So it's hard to judge where he's at. And you don't know, you know, how healthy he's going to be in this game, whether he's going to be able to, you know, throw the ball the way he normally would. But I mean, he was their representative at Pac-12 Media Day. I mean, he's expected to be kind of the leader of this team, and his season's totally been derailed.
How many games has he been out?
I think he's missed four.
He's missed four games.
Yeah, and they played seven.
And,
and missed the end of the Northwestern game, too.
Okay. Well, David Shaw said on, was it Monday or Tuesday, that he was very limited in practice. I don't think he was really doing like team drills, but he was still throwing. He was still out there jogging and warming up. And then I think he practiced a little bit yesterday as well. So he's starting to progress and practice. So I would automatically assume that he's going to be back in at quarterback for Stanford. But that being said, he's wounded. He's rusty. He's been out for four games this year. This is another great opportunity for Arizona because you're 4-3 right now. You lost two in a row. You have upcoming game against Oregon State, which is very winnable for them. But after that, Lev, I'm looking at Arizona's schedule. I'm not sure that they can win another game after that Oregon State game because ASU on the road, it doesn't matter what the records are. All bets are off in that game. But, I mean, his recent history shows, well, I shouldn't say recent history because Arizona lost at home last year. But before then, it was always this back and forth battle. Whoever was at home was going to get the win. ASU is a tough bout. Oregon on the road. I'm sorry. I'm just going to automatically chalk that up as a loss as well. And then Utah at home. If Tyler Huntley and Zach Moss are hitting their fifth gear at that time, and Utah is one of those teams that's thrown in the conversation as a college football playoff team, that's a great opportunity for Arizona to play spoiler, but I'm not sure even them can beat Utah at home just based off of what we saw this past weekend against ASU. I just look at this Stanford game as, you know, a similar situation like USC. The important players are hurt. The quarterback spot is injured. This is a great opportunity for Arizona's defense, but Arizona's defense really isn't the problem over the last couple weeks. Lev, you put this in your cat stats on Tucson.com and the Wildcaster app, and it's one of the best leads I've read this year out of you this year.
Thank you.
If only Arizona's offense could put a decent game together, the Wildcats would stand a real chance. That is literally what everyone has been saying over the last few weeks. Offense has been the problem for these Cats.
Yeah, and we do not know what we're going to get out of the quarterback position for Arizona, which is not an unfamiliar position for us to be in, because there's been a lot of uncertainty and question marks at that spot. But, you know, even last year when Khalil Tate was quote unquote struggling, he didn't struggle as badly as he has the last two weeks, where he ended up getting pulled from the game, didn't finish the game.
And it's not because of injury either.
And it's not because of injury. No, it's because of performance. It's because of the way teams are attacking the Arizona offense and the inability of him and the offensive line and whoever else is involved in beating the blitz to beat the blitz. You know, examined the game tape pretty closely last week. There were definitely opportunities for him to get rid of the ball, and he did not. There's no question that he's been told about this. I'm sure that he sat in the room with Noel Mazzoni and watched the same film and be like, hey, you know, if you had just gotten rid of the ball here, we would have been fine. It's one thing to see it and to know it. It's another thing to do it.
Yeah.
You know, that was kind of Kevin Sumlin's theme during his Monday press conference. Like, life pays off on results. Isn't that what he said? You know, it's all about performance, and it's time for Khalil Tate to perform. And if he doesn't, I think he could lose his job for the rest of the way, because you can't keep doing what they've been doing. You can't keep starting him and pulling him for performance reasons and then, you know, turn around and say, oh, well, we still think, you know, this gives us the best chance to win, because you wouldn't keep pulling him out of the game if you thought that.
Yeah.
You know? So this is it. I would like to see a very run-heavy attack in this game. Really stick to it. I disagree with what Kevin Sumlin said about the rushing game kind of being inconsistent against USC. I think it was fine. I think it was good enough. And I think they need to make that the foundation, build off of that, use play action, use more of the RPO concepts to freeze those defenders so they're not crashing into the backfield. And then if Khalil's healthy enough, throw in a couple of design runs. They did it early in the USC game. It didn't really work. And I think they went away from it a little early. But I did like the body language I saw from him. Like, there were a couple of times he kind of crashed into USC defenders and he was kind of sticking his chest out. And, you know, obviously it was a very emotional game for him. If he can bring that same fire to the Stanford game and execute a little better, I think they can move the ball well enough to win.
So you think this is kind of like the last straw for Khalil Tate? as a starting quarterback.
I mean, I don't want to give away what I might be writing about for Saturday's paper, but the theme might be something of that nature. Because how many times can you do this? Maybe you could, I don't know, maybe you can do it for the rest of the season. But, you know, at some point, you've got to decide who's really the best guy for the job.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we understand maybe a little bit better than the fans do, but like why Kevin Sumlin is doing this, why he's giving him another chance. Because it was only a couple weeks ago that he was awesome against Colorado. I mean, he was amazing.
Incredible.
Probably the best passing performance of his career. Maybe it's just two really tough opponents who executed their game plans to an elite level, you know? I also do understand the fans' perspective, though, that, I mean, we've all seen the same thing. We saw how much better Grant Gunnell seemed to handle the pressure, albeit in more, you know, garbage time type situations, and maybe he's just a better fit for the types of defenses that they're seeing. But I would have made the change, but I understand why Kevin Sumlin is sticking with Khalil. But I also think that this is probably the last time you could do it if he doesn't perform.
Well, I think it's the last straw for Khalil Tate as the starter, because if he gets pulled one more time and they throw out Grant Gunnell again, that's five games for the true freshman. He's already played in four. Last week against UCLA against USC was the fourth game. So if you're not redshirting him, why not get as much out of him as you can?
Well,
get as much juice out of him as you can. And if that's the case, just start him. I know Khalil Tate, the numbers say, you know, he will go down as, you know, one of the top quarterbacks in Arizona football history, at least one of the more dynamic quarterbacks in program history. But at some point, man, you got to get ready for the next chapter. And if they lose, you know, against Stanford and Khalil Tate doesn't improve, then I think, you know, if you're Kevin Sumlin, Noel Mazzone, you got to make the decision. And if Grant Gunnell is your best chance at winning football games, if he has a flow to the offense, because when he's in the game, it just seems like there's more consistency. There's like this repetition. There's this flow, and they're moving the ball. Even though it's, you know, 5 yards at a time, there's still a flow to the offense.
Well, I asked Brian Castile on Tuesday, you know, what is the key to establishing and sustaining a rhythm on offense? And he said that he basically gave the line about staying on schedule. And he said, if we can get 4 yards on first down, then we're good. 4 yards.
4 yards in a cloud of dust.
It's not that much to ask, but I totally get it. I understand where he's coming from with that, because that gets you, assuming you don't suffer a sack on second down, which was a problem against USC, but that keeps you on schedule. You know, that you can run or pass on second down if you have second and six. Okay. And we talked about how those check down plays that everyone kind of mocks Grant Gunnell for, oh, he's not throwing the ball downfield or whatever. You can get 4 yards checking the ball down.
Yeah.
And that just sets everything up and makes it a lot easier for the offense. As we're joined mid-podcast by Ryan Finley. Hello, Ryan.
Well, you guys were talking about rhythm, and if anybody's ever seen me do just about anything, rhythm's not my thing. So I can't really offer anything. I do have a question, and pardon me if this has been covered at all before. Michael Lev, if you were a wide receiver in that locker room, which quarterback would you prefer?
Man. Well, okay. First of all,
there were
a lot of questions kind of that nature Tuesday.
Okay. When you talked to players.
Yes. Yeah. And we all got the feeling that they had been prepped to not answer them or turn the conversation in another direction.
Robots.
Like our colleague Alec White asked a seemingly innocuous question about, oh, you know, what has impressed you about Grant Gunnell when he's come into the game to running back Nathan Tilford? And Nathan just gave him the next question.
Whoa.
Response. Yeah.
Come on, Tilford.
Like, next question. Next question. Which was odd because it really wasn't like a compare one quarterback to the other type of thing, but I think it was drilled into their heads.
Mm-hmm.
They are different styles of quarterbacks for sure, mm-hmm. right? If I were Tavian Cunningham, I think I might prefer Khalil Tate because right. Tavian Cunningham can take the top off a defense and Khalil Tate can throw the ball 60 yards in the air. If I'm Brian Castile or Drew Dixon and I'm more of a, you know, possession type receiver or someone who's going to catch the ball on a quick slant or something that's a little bit more of a rhythm type pass, I might prefer Grant Gunnell.
Or even Jamari Joyner. Wasn't there a play against USC where Grant Gunnell threw a great ball and it was just out of Joyner, the tip of his
perfect
fingers?
Perfect ball, yeah.
You know?
Perfect ball in a corner route in the end zone, yeah.
I find the improvisational stuff to be just fascinating to watch. You know, to see Khalil Tate navigate a broken play, I think is really fun. I could imagine if you're a wide receiver, it must drive you crazy.
Yeah, you know, it's
when your offense is sort of scramble and throw.
I asked Castile on Tuesday, like, why haven't you guys been more effective in the scramble drill this year? And he said they haven't practiced it as much. It hasn't been as much of an emphasis, which I find odd. Mm-hmm. I don't know why that would be the case, because it was such an effective weapon for them last year. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're all hypercritical of Khalil Tate when he rolls out of the pocket and runs out of bounds. But it's obviously something he shouldn't do. He should throw the ball away. But there's a reason he's getting to the sideline and not having another option. It's no one's open, apparently. Mm-hmm. Like, at that point, your vision is pretty narrow. You're looking at what, maybe a quarter of the field or so? Obviously, no one's coming open in his field of vision. Mm-hmm. And that surprises me, because that's been a huge part of his game since he's become the starter. And we really haven't seen those types of plays out of them. Maybe defenses are doing a better job of plastering receivers. They're not letting them get open. But I don't know. That answer surprised me.
Plastering, that's a very good football term.
Yeah, I know. It's a good one, right? Yeah.
Taking the top off of defense, plastering.
Yeah, I think Washington did a really good job of plastering. That was the implication that I got from what Khalil was saying when he said they took care of their responsibilities on the back end.
All right, so we are now entering your favorite part of the podcast,
yes!
Ryan. Pac-12 pick'ems.
Have we gone through, by the way, and done a week
we
by week?
Do.
We got to do this. We got to do this.
Because I feel like I'm like 30-0 or something.
Because
you know?
I know a certain somebody last week picked Oregon State to win at Cal.
Yeah. Good for you.
Was I mocked.
I did not.
I said I was nodding as you were picking it. I'm like,
nodding.
Yeah. You're on to something here. And then I chickened out.
I definitely have a sub-500 record, for sure. What about this Friday night matchup? USC on the road against Colorado.
It was interesting. People were tweeting out pictures this morning. Today's Thursday when we're recording this, that there's snow on the ground in Boulder.
Goodness.
But it's supposed to be 60 degrees.
Thank goodness for Tucson.
On Friday in Boulder. USC is, I've got them at 13.5-point favorites in this game. I wouldn't give that many points because the Trojans are untrustworthy on the road under Clay Helton. And Colorado can't be this bad, right? Can't be this bad. So I think USC is going to win, but by less than that margin.
Is Steven Montez more unpredictable than Khalil Tate?
No. Nobody's
no?
more unpredictable than Khalil Tate. But he's close. He might be second in that race.
By the way, just as a complete aside, I find Khalil Tate to be incredible television.
I do. Yeah.
Either way. I mean, and if I were a season ticket holder, going to games would be a blast because you don't know what you're going to see, kind of for better and for worse. Anyway, I also like USC. I don't think I need to talk any more about USC.
Yeah.
I like USC.
I think Colorado covers. I think it's going to be a close game, but I like USC by a touchdown.
A lot of injuries, as we talked about earlier, and one fewer day to get ready. So that's a concern, but I just think they're better.
And Marquise Stepp, he's going to miss some time,
yeah,
right?
He is. So yeah, just plug in the 100 and 200 meter champ from California just racing up and down the field.
I ask this question because I ask it every week. If SC loses, does Clay Helton stay on the tarmac?
No. Because
they're just going to let him finish the season.
They don't
and
have
evaluate
an athletic
them.
Director. How you? It's
a good point.
It'd be chaos.
It's step one is hire an athletic director.
Right.
Step two is figure out the coaching situation.
Right. Step three, profit. Is that how that works?
ASU on the road against UCLA, 4:30 p.m. kickoff on Pac-12 networks. Interesting game because UCLA coming off a surprising win. I didn't pick them to win last week. ASU probably coming off their worst game under Herm Edwards over the last couple of years, losing to Utah 21-3. I'm unsure who to pick in this game.
Yeah, I don't like this is what Bill Simmons would call a stay away to me. Like, really tough game. ASU's favored by 3.5. I definitely wouldn't like bet on ASU giving 3.5 points. Feel like it's going to come down to a field goal one way or the other. I think ASU certainly is capable of pulling this off because they're going to learn some valuable lessons from that last game. I mean, UCLA is not nearly as physical and tough as Utah was. You know, you won't have the weather playing into it. So I think ASU can sneak this out, but it has to be their kind of game. It has to be a 20-17 type of game. I think if it gets up like into the 30s, that the advantage might swing to UCLA, which has DTR back healthy and playing well, Joshua Kelly back healthy and playing well. I mean, I feel like sort of similar to what you were saying about Utah earlier, Justin, that if those two guys are healthy, the quarterback and the running back, that it's a much better team than maybe what we saw at the beginning of the season for the Bruins.
I think Utah makes a lot of teams look bad. I'm not necessarily sure an 18-point loss in Salt Lake City is all that different from what we were expecting. With ASU, I like ASU to win and win big. UCLA still needs to win. I haven't seen enough from UCLA to pick them to beat kind of anybody at this point. I know that they're on the upswing. I know guys are healthy. I get that. But ASU still considers itself a contender in the Pac-12 South. And if you're a contender in the Pac-12 South, you gotta win this game. Who's more desperate? Who wants it more? That's hokey to say, but I think it's ASU and big.
And, you know, the Sun Devils kind of took a step back last week offensively. They didn't score a touchdown. The run game wasn't really established. I think Eno Benjamin against the Bruins, they find their rhythm once again. Jaden Daniels, he's a SoCal guy, right?
I believe so. Is he Inland Empire? I feel like he's Inland Empire, but that's Temecula. Still SoCal. That's still SoCal. Temecula is not Inland Empire, is it?
Can we have a separate podcast about what constitutes Inland Empire?
Because I think of Riverside, but they consider Riverside, Temecula.
To me, it's Riverside, Paris, San Bernardino, Chino, Ontario, Corona.
Okay.
I would consider Temecula more of a super northern San Diego suburb, yeah, like Fallbrook.
Daniels is from San Bernardino. That is the
that's the heart of
the Inland Empire.
Where do you go to high school? Gorgonia?
Cajon Valley. Yeah.
There we go.
I like ASU on the road. What's the spread in that game?
It's 3.5.
3.5.
Ooh. I like the over in that one. All right. So the next game, Cal on the road against number 12, Utah. I think this one's going to be short. Utah wins big.
That's a big line, though. That's a big number. What is it, 21?
I think it's going to be a shutout.
Wow.
Yeah, like 24 to nothing.
Wow.
Something like that. Yeah.
It's not going to be close.
Tough assignment for Cal. I wonder, though, is Utah going to take them seriously? Are they maybe going to have a little bit of a let up?
Every team has a letdown game, and I'm not sure we've seen one from Utah.
Because they've got at Washington next week. You know, that's going to be a challenge for Kyle Whittingham.
Sure.
To just sort of make sure that their focus is on taking care of business this week, not looking ahead to what amounts to, I think, really the only serious obstacle for Utah to run the table and get to the Pac-12 championship game, assuming that they're not tied with USC at the end of this thing, mm-hmm, because they've got at Washington, home UCLA, at Arizona, home Colorado. Mm-hmm. That's it after this Cal game. So they're in really good shape. That was one of the reasons I liked them at the beginning of the year to get to the Pac-12 championship game, because the way the schedule rotation works out for them this season, it's pretty favorable.
Who would you guys prefer to have represent the Pac-12 in the college football playoff, Utah or Oregon? Who has a better chance of winning a game in the college football playoff?
I think Oregon does, because they have a good defense, maybe not quite as good as Utah's, but I think they have a downfield passing element that they could go to if they needed to, that maybe Utah doesn't have on as consistent of a basis. Like, I think the ceiling for Justin Herbert is higher than the ceiling for Tyler Huntley. And I think that the way that Mario Cristobal has built that team, really focusing on the lines, he's done it with kind of an SEC mentality, and you're going to run up against an SEC powerhouse or a Big Ten powerhouse if you were in the playoff.
Let's put them both in there. How about that?
No, I'm down.
Not okay. Impossible.
Conference champions.
No. Not okay.
Impossible.
Well, the Ducks, they have Washington State this week at home in Eugene.
Did you pick Utah, by the way?
Yeah, I picked Utah. Big. Everybody's, okay. Big. Wazoo against Oregon. You know, the Ducks, we were listening to that game on the drive over to the Coliseum. Ducks showed some guts in that
sure
game.
Did.
You know, being down, you know, two touchdowns on the road against a team like Washington. I thought the Huskies got this. I thought the Ducks were just going to throw in the towel and accept the L and move on. But Oregon, like I said, they showed guts in that game. They came back and won.
But I feel like this is a potential trap game for them. They're going to
at
be,
home.
Well, it's a bit of a letdown after that huge win on the road against Washington. Washington State's just a dangerous team. They're weird. They pass the ball like 75% of the time. They have playmakers. They have a good quarterback. I don't think Oregon's going to lose, but I wouldn't lay 14 points either. I think it's going to be like 40 to 30, something like that.
Yeah, I'm with Lev on that. I agree.
Yeah. High-scoring game. I'm with that as well. I think it's going to be more high-scoring for Oregon more so than Washington State.
That's fair.
Because that defense that Oregon has, it's been pretty impressive all season long. All right, so let's look ahead to this game this Saturday afternoon in Palo Alto. Arizona taking on Stanford. Kickoff is set for 12:30 p.m. on Pac-12 networks.
Real quick as an aside, you know that they like insist you call it Stanford, California now instead of Palo Alto?
What?
Because they have their own post office box on campus and they are what? Stanford, California. It's awful. It's right up there with USC saying don't call us Troy or Southern Cal.
So for your dateline, I believe you actually put Stanford.
This is my passive this is my passive aggressive way of saying your dateline will be Stanford.
Stanford. Okay.
Stanford. But I mean again, that's all-time dumb things in the world is them being like the U of A has a post office on campus. I don't believe that they dateline all of their games from University of Arizona, Arizona.
It's not quite on the level of Ohio State trying to trademark the word
the
right,
but it's up there.
Right. Anyway, I've interrupted. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
What do you guys got in this game?
I think it's Stanford, and I think that it's less a testament to Stanford and more a testament to how hard it is for even good teams to win on the road. I'm not sure Arizona is a good team at this point. I'm not sure who their quarterback will be. I'm not sure if their running backs are healthy. I don't know if their defense is good or not good. I don't know how desperate they are. I don't know what they're playing for. There are just so many questions here that I am not comfortable picking an Arizona team to win a conference game on the road.
I'm taking Arizona. I'm going to go with a score of 26-20. Big day for Lucas Haversick when the offense bogs down in the red zone, 4 field goals, getting them up to that 26-point plateau. I'm not sure what they're going to get out of the quarterback position, but I think they can run the ball against this Stanford team effectively. I think the defense is going to step up in a big way against a pretty inept offense that, as I mentioned, is 11th in the conference in pretty much all the major categories. You know, you will get KJ Costello back in the lineup most likely, but even when he's played, he hasn't been that effective. I just don't think that Stanford is Stanford anymore, at least for now. They've had their own share of injury issues, especially on the offensive line. They just aren't that physical force offensively that they've been. And this is, as we mentioned, sort of a desperation situation for the Wildcats. If they don't win this game, like all the goodwill that they built up over the course of that 4-game winning streak is pretty much gone. They're back at 500 and, you know, they're kind of in desperate times to, you know, they're in jeopardy of not making a bowl game. If they lose Saturday, I think they know that. I think they will rise to the occasion, and I think they'll eke one out.
It's not a desperation game for Stanford?
I mean, 22 to UCLA last week.
It is. Right. It is. But, you know, I don't know if their expectations right now are on the same level
Fair.
As Arizona's.
Fair.
When Arizona was 4-1, I mean, they're thinking, hey, you know, we got a shot to win the Pac-12 South, or we're minimally going to go to a bowl game, and that feels like that's slipping away. Whereas Stanford started 1-3 and got blown out basically 3 straight times. You know, I don't know. I can't get into their headspace. I don't really know where they are, but that's just my feeling about the two teams.
Lev, you said earlier in the podcast, this is a swing game for the Arizona Wildcats. And I agree with you because after this game, Oregon State, very winnable. And then those last 3 games, man, it's rough. And if Arizona has five wins entering that ASU game, that's not a scenario they want to be in. With that being said, Arizona's licking their chops right now. And I think they established the run game because Stanford last week against UCLA, look at what the Bruins did on the ground against the Cardinal. 306 rushing yards. Joshua Kelly rushed for 180 yards. Dorian Thompson-Robinson, 13 carries for 92 yards. Khalil Tate's a very athletic quarterback. J.J. Taylor's one of the best running backs in the conference. I think Arizona gets it done by running the football. I'm not sure Khalil Tate's going to have this great passing game, but I think J.J. Taylor will thrive once again. Gary Brightwell could be back into the rotation. I know he was limited last week against USC. He was only on punt coverage. Maybe he gets back into the rotation. Mm-hmm. And then you also have other guys like Michael Wiley as well. Nathan Tilford also looked good. So I think Arizona establishes the run game and they get the win.
One more thing I want to add is I don't think Khalil Tate needs to have a great game for them to win, whereas I thought that he needed to have a great game for them to beat USC.
Sure.
So all he needs to be is good enough. Don't turn the ball over. Take what's there and rely on the running game. Rely on the defense. I know this is sounds crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Rely on the defense. But if the defense can replicate what they did in the first half against USC and Washington, against the Stanford team, carried over a whole game, plus sort of good enough offense, I think that's a formula for success.
If I place the over-under on snaps taken by Grant Gunnell at 10, taking the over or the under?
Man. I'm going to take the under.
Yeah, I'll take the under too. I know.
I'm sure this was an earlier part of the show.
Ryan comes in to stir up trouble.
Rolling a hand grenade out in the middle of the podcast.
I just know that if Grant Gunnell plays an entire quarter, we're going to get that text message from Ryan Finley.
I told you so.
Your picks. Beavers!
Beavers. Maybe I texted everybody about the Beavers winning that game last week. My only question, and I'm sure this has been covered already, but if Grant Gunnell was part of their plans, I'm not sure Kevin Sumlin would have been as definitive as he was with you guys last week. I mean, he was pretty much like, there's no quarterback issue. Khalil's our guy, right? At SC?
Yeah. I just don't see how you could go back to saying Khalil's our starter.
Right.
I just don't see how if you're Kevin Sumlin at this point, you have a true freshman quarterback or you rave about being the future. I mean, mm-hmm. Yeah, I would automatically assume that you got to turn to a guy like Grant Gunnell. We talked about this earlier.
Right.
I think this is Khalil Tate's last straw. As a starting quarterback?
Last stand, kind of.
Last stand,
last stand?
Yeah.
Like, if he fails, that's it?
Yes.
It might be. We talked about it extensively before you got here, Ryan, that...
I'm sorry.
They can't keep doing this.
I was in a meeting.
You know, you can't do this week after week after week.
Right.
So, we both sort of feel like it's now or never for him. And I'm banking on him succeeding at least well enough for them to win this game.
It's a good place to leave it.
Arizona got Stanford on the road in Stanford, California, air quotes.
With ace pinch, he called himself Justin Bridgewater earlier in the podcast, subbing for Drew Brees.
I like
Ryan.
That.
So
I like that.
I was going to say, I'm sure you could pull some all-time great pinch hitter from baseball to use one of your cross-sports metaphors that you like to do.
Dave Hansen.
Dave Hansen.
There we go.
Dave Hansen.
People that Justin's never heard of.
Dave Hansen.
Manny Mota.
Manny Mota. Who's that? Bill Miller. Remember Bill Miller? He was a guy.
Sure. Justin's no idea. He has no idea what we're talking about.
This is great.
That'll do it for this episode of the Wildcast Podcast. Arizona-Stanford kickoff is set for 12:30 p.m. on Pac-12 networks. Make sure you download the Wildcaster app on the App Store or Google Play. Also, subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts. For Lev, for Ryan, I'm Justin. Thanks for listening. We want to thank our sponsor, Great Western Bank, a proud supporter of the Wildcast podcast. At Great Western Bank, they focus on serving family-owned businesses and their overall financial needs. Whether your company needs increased working capital, equipment or SBA financing, purchasing or renovating a building or construction financing, Great Western Bank has the expertise to work through your specific financial needs. Visit the Great Western Bank branch on Campbell between Glen and Fort Lowell, or call 520-325-1135 to talk to any of the business bankers about your specific needs. Member FDIC.